Let me, All right, let me lead you to a couple of verses first that actually, if you're in the early service, they didn't get this because I just got them while we were worshiping here a little while ago. Ephesians 1, 17. We're going to start there. I'm going to show you two verses, and then we're going to go and we're going to land for a little while in Deuteronomy. We're going to start in Ephesians 1. Let me kind of lay the groundwork for those of you who were not here last week. Last week, I began a message that I thought actually was just going to be a one-week deal. I thought I was going to take one Sunday, but then I didn't finish, so I knew it would stretch into today. And as I was preparing for this, it became clear that it's going to be into next week. So it has quickly become a three-part series. Who knows where it's going to stop? But one of the things that the Lord began to speak to me about a few weeks ago was revelation, the nature of revelation. It becomes extremely critically important when we see that Jesus in John 17 says over and over and over again, listen, let me tell you something. You start looking in the scripture, you start seeing the words for revelation. It's amazing how often Jesus talked about revealing himself and revealing the Father. Now, here's one of the things we know. We know that God, when some of this, to catch up from last week, those who weren't here, God has chosen to reveal himself to mankind, to humanity, as a father through a son. As far as I'm concerned, it is a useless argument to talk with anybody to discuss at length, is God man or woman? He's neither. He's not a man like us. He became a man like us. But here's what I know. In the Word of God and all through history, God has chosen to reveal himself as a father through a son. Now, people say, well, can't we just call God she? No, can't. Don't have permission for that. He's a father. Why? Because actually, him being a father says different things than it would if he chose to reveal himself as a mother. Which is, in Mother's Day, we understand it takes both mother and father. You know, I mean, God has callings for both. We're different. And so God has chosen, for reasons that we are beginning to understand, to reveal himself as a father to his sons and daughters, which, as you know, as we talk about this, the term sons is generic. It covers all of us, as we've said before. If men can be the bride of Christ, women can be sons of God. So we are all, those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, to those who believed in the name of the Lord Jesus, to those he gave the right to become sons of God. All right, so we're sons. Okay. So God is revealing himself, and Jesus said in John 17, he said, now we've got to get this. He said, the one who keeps my word, it's him who loves me, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Now we've got to get past this one little hang up. For years, that has been preached like in this tone. Okay, he who keeps my word, it is him who loves me. So what that means is, it says this, him who keeps my word is him who loves me, and my Father will love him. So the way we've kind of received that through an orphan heart, through orphans, we've read that and said, okay, what that means is I got to keep his word. I got to obey all the law. I got to be good. I got to behave. I got to not do bad things. I got to do more good things. I got to manage my sin. And if I do that successfully, then the Father will love me. It's he who keeps my word that loves me, and my Father will love him. That is not what it's saying. The construct of that sentence doesn't come across in English. See, it's written in another language, written in Greek. The construct of that sentence is not about cause and effect. This happens, this happens, this happens. If you keep my word, that proves that you love me. And so if you do that, if you keep my commandments, if you obey all the scripture, if you do all the right things, if you perform well enough, the Father loves you. No, no, no. Here's what it means. Jesus basically is saying this. He's saying, you know how you can tell who loves me? It's the person whose life looks like they love me. The person who in their life, they keep my word, those are the ones who love me. Jesus is just saying, here's how you identify the people who love me, by the people who live like it. It's not their performance, but it shows up in their lives that they love Jesus. And here's Jesus saying, the people who love me, my Father is going to love them. Well, that just makes sense. I love people who love my kids. Man, I mentioned that last week, and all of a sudden, my kids came home with the news of people giving them, offering them lessons, you know, music, like half price. I'm thinking, I know what they want. They want me to like them. They're being nice to my kids, so I like them. No, I love that. Listen, I will do anything for people who are good to my children. Amen? Fathers, you got it? Listen, if somebody is not kind to your child, what do you want to do? You want to beat him up? I don't want to beat up his dad. I want to beat up him. I don't care if he's 8. You know what I mean? So that's the whole deal. As fathers, we love people who are good to our children. Listen, if people are kind to them, if they give them gifts, they're good, they're nice, they're encouraging. Don't you want to be around those people? I will do anything for people who love my children. So Jesus said, listen, for those who love me, if you love me, then my Father loves you, and he will reveal himself to you. Why? Because you love Jesus. Not because of any other thing, not because you're good enough or smart enough or good looking enough or people like you. It's because you love Jesus. The Father will reveal himself to you. And Jesus said, and in fact, God's going to be, it's like Jesus said, you know what? My Father's going to be so busy revealing himself to them that we're just going to come set up a home with him. We're just going to move in. We have to move in because God has so much to reveal. See, we will come and make our home with him. Why? Because, if we're going to be revealing stuff about ourselves, it's going to take a while, so let's just move in together. Okay? Now, so that's the point of that. Over and over, there's a thing about revelation. Now, here's the reason why we're talking about this. We got to understand the nature of revelation. Now, we're not talking about the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. What we're talking about is what God reveals. Now, we said last week, the last thing I'll do to catch up, what we said last week is there's a difference between discovery and revelation. Discovery is good, but discovery is something you can do in your own strength without the aid of the Holy Spirit. You can go through the Bible and you can discover really good truths about God. You can get word studies, you can read commentaries, you can read good books, you can hear messages, whatever it is, you can put this stuff together. Discovery is what happens when an archaeologist gets in the dirt and starts brushing away dirt with a toothbrush and uncovering the bones of a dinosaur. That's a discovery. Look what we've got. That's good. You can do that, but that's based on your own ability to do that. Revelation is when you don't know what's under the dirt and a dinosaur pops out of the dirt and shows itself to you. That's revelation. Okay, now, so when it comes to spiritual matters, discovery is when you can discover good things about Scripture, wonderful thing. Revelation is when something you didn't even know was there just pops up out of the ground, or when what you've discovered takes on life. You might have actually uncovered the bones, but when those bones stand up and become a living thing, that's revelation. Okay, so, and lots of people run from revelation, but that's what revelation is. So the difference is this: discovery is good, but it isn't enough, because discovery does not need the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit blows on that discovery and it takes on life, then you move from logos, the spoken word, to rhema, the living word. That's how revelation happens. So discovery is great, but short of the breath of the Holy Spirit on it, it's not revelation. So don't discover something in your own power and then call it revelation until God blows on it. Does it make sense? If it doesn't, it will sometime when God reveals it to you. All right, so here's the thing. We've got to understand something about the nature of revelation, because we live in an age of the church, and actually it's probably been this way since Jesus walked the earth. We live in a time, especially in 21st century America, in a culture of celebrity. If you don't think that's true, just take a glance at every supermarket checkout stand. We live in a culture of celebrity, and in the church, we do the same thing. In the American church, we follow people who seem to have the latest, greatest revelation. And we are prone, we have a tendency to go, whether it's one church to another or one school to another or whatever, one conference to another, seeking after the latest, greatest revelation. Now listen, We need to avail ourselves of the revelation of God. It's a wonderful thing. Man, drink it in. Go to conferences. Go to all of it. But what happens is, if we attach greatness to the person who had the revelation and we just follow after them, we are absolutely missing it. We are missing what God is trying to say. If we echo the revelation that we're hearing that has become revelation to us, then the revelation expands. See, Jack Frost wrote two books, 2006, 2007, about sonship that I never heard of before until this revelation of sonship got into my heart and my spirit. And then the God in me heard the God in those books from Jack Frost, connected, resonated, and I begin to echo that. When Dudley Hall teaches on sonship, when we watch Show Us the Father, man, that echoes. I'm not claiming that I came up with that revelation. Why? Because if I'm going to do that, it's only because I want you to think that I'm smart enough to come up with it, or I'm spiritual enough and you should listen to me. So at that point, the revelation stops being about God revealing Himself and it becomes all about me. Well, I have good news for you. It's not about me. Better news, it's not about you either. It's about what? The Father revealing Himself. See, Jesus, guys, can I tell you, there's no time and there's no room for us to make revelation about us. There's just no place for it. Revelation's got. So, if your revelation, listen, if you get revelation from God and it becomes something that puffs you up and fills you with pride, if you think God is going to give you revelation in order for you to have a successful ministry, can I tell you something? That ain't revelation. That is not. Now, can God really elevate you and promote you and give you success in His kingdom through a revelation? He absolutely can. Why? Because it's about Him, not about you. You're just coming along in the wake of it. Does that make sense so far? All right. I know we're talking about some sort of nebulous things, but here's what I want to show you. I want to get to this right now. All right, Ephesians 1:17. Let's start there. Ephesians 1:17. I want to show you, first of all, that you can and should get revelation from God. Every single one of you who have life in Christ can and should get revelation from God. Ephesians 1, look at verse 15. This is why, Paul says, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the glorious riches of inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His vast strength. How much of that is about you? Not a bit of it. It's all about Him. It's about the revelation in what? The knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Scripture? No, can I tell you something? It is good to know the Scripture, but revelation is not about your knowledge of the Scripture. Everybody, I don't care if you have never set foot in a Bible school, never had one Bible course. Let me tell you something. Revelation is not connected to your knowledge of Scripture. It is connected to your knowledge of Him. Now hear me. The Scripture will lead you into a knowledge of Him. That's the purpose of it. And if you really want to know Him, you will begin to hunger to be in the Scripture, because through the Bible is one of the ways that God reveals who He is. Does that make sense? So I want you to understand, I honor, elevate, bless the Scripture. But it's not your knowledge of the Scripture that brings you revelation. It's the Scripture that leads you to a God who reveals Himself. Please hear that. I love and honor the Scripture, but we don't worship the Bible. All right. Is there a clearer way I can say that? Now, I have to say it that way because, frankly, I grew up in a denomination and a tradition. You want to say it again? Oh, yeah, I should say it again. Okay, I don't know. Can you play that back, Charles? I'll say it this way. We love the Word of God. We love the Bible. We love the Scripture, but we understand that it's the Scripture that leads us to a revelation of who God is. It's God speaking through the Scripture that leads us to Him. All right? So it is not your knowledge of Scripture that gives you revelation. It is your knowledge of God that gives you revelation. And I'll take it a step further. It is your knowledge of God as you get to know Him. See, last week what we talked about is that God is a knowable God. He wants to be known. It is your knowing Him that actually reveals to you what He meant to say in Scripture to begin with. The only way you can understand what Scripture actually meant was to know Him and let through the knowledge of Him, let Him reveal what He was saying. Otherwise, you're just going to be confused. I mean, you really will. I'm telling you, it's just confusing. Just try. I mean, if you take off your lenses of kingdom and sonship and all that and try to read through the Old Testament and make sense out of it. Guess what I'm saying? All right. All right, so that's Ephesians 1. You need to have revelation, knowledge of Scripture. Look at Proverbs 29. I love this. I love this particular translation of this verse. It's a verse we've heard a lot that says, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? Proverbs 29:18. Look at this translation of it here in the Holman version. Without revelation, people run wild. But one who listens to instruction will be happy. Without revelation, people run wild. Listen. Paul said, again, in Ephesians 4, we're not going to look at it right now, but he said this. He said, for this reason, God gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of faith and maturity of the Son of God. He said, now, and then when, as that happens, as the body is equipped, as we receive the revelation of God through apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and through one another, here's what happens. He says, then we will no longer be like little children tossed to and fro on every wind and wave of doctrine. He doesn't say not every wind and wave of bad doctrine or false doctrine. But if we do not get revelation of God from God, if we don't let Him reveal Himself to us, then you will be tossed about on every wind and wave by the next big teaching that blows through your town. You'll be thrown around to every conference. You'll go to every meeting. You will hop from church to church to church if all you're seeking is the next big thing. I have seen it happen. There are people I know who have been a part of this church, and right now I'm telling you, there are people who are pursuing wonderful, powerful revelations in the Holy Spirit, but they are doing so with no fathering, speaking into their lives, with no authority, with no covering, with no accountability, with no relationships with the body of Christ. They are out on their own. Let me tell you something. They are in danger. They are exposing themselves to some dangerous stuff. They are playing with spiritual dynamite with no adult around to say, don't like that match. Or if you like that match, throw it over here. Throw it that way. See, I'm telling you, they're playing with stuff with no accountability, and that's a dangerous thing. So we need each other. All right. Now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to show you in about 10 minutes, I hope, what revelation is for. Why do we... I tell you, start Deuteronomy 29. We're going to go right to Deuteronomy 29:29. Then I'm going to put it in context for you. I want to show you what revelation is for. Why does God even want to show you Himself? Beyond the fact that He just wants you to know Him. He is knowable. But why would He... What's the purpose then of knowing Him? I'm having this baby. Before we leave here today, Deuteronomy. Yeah, I'm pushing. Yeah, we got a. I don't know where all our midwives are today. We got like a dozen of them in this church, and none of them are here today. So, all right, y'all are all my midwives today. All right, Revelation 29. Look at this. The hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. Look at it again. The hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. All right, now, stop right there for just a moment. The hidden things belong to the Lord. What does that mean? That means we really don't know anything unless the Lord reveals it. The hidden things, they all belong to the Lord. They don't belong to us. The hidden things, we don't know them unless God reveals them. But the revealed things, what's the revealed things? The things that were previously hidden, but now God has uncovered for us. Okay? It's the things that have previously been hidden, but now, man, I forgot. I think I read a few weeks ago my new definition of revelation. I can't remember it now. It was really good, but it was long. Okay, so, but revelation really is the previously unknown things that have now been made known. You know, and again, I say, keep coming to this verse in Corinthians where Paul said, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And we stop right there. Bad place to stop, because it goes on. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. God wants you to know his heart. All right. The hidden things belong to the Lord. Why? Because they're his. But the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever. All right, now, why in the world is that in Deuteronomy 29, 29? I want to show you. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. You have to understand, this whole part of the Bible, this whole part of Deuteronomy, this is Moses' farewell speech. He is summing up the first 4.5 books of the Bible. And he is saying, here's what we've all been through. Here's what God has been doing up to this moment. They're the children of Israel. Moses is about to die. They're about to go into the promised land. They are on the cusp of a new era of something being birthed. They're coming into a shift into dominion. They are walking into a catalytic eventuation. I'm going to start preaching like that all the time. All right, so look at verse 1. Of Deuteronomy 28. Now, if you faithfully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all his commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will put you far above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come and overtake you because you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Your descendants will be blessed, and your land's produce and the offspring of your livestock, including the young of your herds and the newborn of your flocks. Your basket and kneading bowl will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will march out against you from one direction but flee from you in seven directions. The Lord will grant you a blessing on your storehouses and on everything you do. He will bless you in the land your Lord God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore to you, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And blessing, 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 only God, boom, 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 boom. Man, I mean just bow, explosion of blessings. That's a wonderful thing. Moses is summing up for them the terms of the covenant in which they are in, the covenant relationship with God. And he says, listen, if you will just keep your end of the covenant, here's what's going to happen. Blessings will overtake you, I'm telling you. You won't be able to hold it all. It's going to be awesome. Here are the wonderful things that will happen. All right, now, he goes on to say next, he's going to say, now, if you don't do it, you know, there's going to be curses. Now, first of all, let me say this to you. Please, those of you who've been here more than 2 weeks have heard me talk about this. That is not the covenant we live up under. That ain't it. Thank God, thank God, thank God we don't live under that covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews, we live under a better covenant. That covenant was wonderful. It was of God, and it served its purpose in the earth, which was to show people how wonderful it is, the blessings of living in a covenant relationship with God himself, and to show them that they don't have the power to do it on their own, that they have to depend on the forgiveness of the Lord, God's grace, his mercy, atonement, to keep them in that covenant relationship, because they cannot successfully keep it in their own strength. All right, it was a wonderful covenant, but it served its purpose. And Jesus said, all right, I'm here now, and I have fulfilled that covenant. Jesus, watch, Jesus obeyed the law of God. He kept all the law. Now watch, the law of God, not the law of man, because he broke some of the laws of man. See, he healed people on the Sabbath. He had his disciples take grain from a field and eat it on a Sabbath. He did things that they said broke the law. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus did not come to successfully keep all of the Jewish law. Jesus came to keep all the law of God. Now, there's a difference. Now, here's I have such good news for you. I have good news. I have good news. Good news is this. This is not the covenant we're under. You don't have to keep all the Jewish laws for God to be happy with you. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Thank God, thank God. I can't even memorize that. There's 600 and something. Okay, you don't have to keep all those. You don't have to observe all the feasts for the favor of God to be on you. Now, I got some friends that would be leaving right now if they were here. You don't have to. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the feasts. Listen, and especially in as much as the feasts reveal Jesus to us, in as much as they speak of the coming Messiah, as we see revealed in Christ, they are a wonderful, beautiful thing. But you don't have to be more Jewish for God to like you. All right, now, here's the good news. Jesus kept the covenant law. Jesus earned all the blessings of God, none of the curses. And on the cross, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And he met us who had earned only the curses of God, none of the blessings. And he transferred onto us the blessings of the Father and took on himself the curse of our disobedience and killed our sin when he died. And we get, can I tell you something? All the blessings we just read, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. You get those blessings not because you're good enough, but because Jesus was good enough. Not because you earned them, but because Jesus earned them. All the blessings, the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. The blessings are mine and yours. The curses are not. Listen, if you couldn't earn the blessings, you can't earn the curses. Yeah, let's think about that for just a second. If you couldn't bring the blessings on yourself, you can't bring the curses of a broken covenant on yourself. Now watch. Now, let me go a step further. We live under a new covenant. We live on the terms of that new covenant. Now watch. What are the terms of that covenant? The terms of that covenant are: if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Now, that's our new covenant. So here's what that means. You say, Mark, well, then, if I don't bring the curses on myself, how come my life is in shambles? Well, it could be because you're not living under the terms of the covenant that you're in, which is, if you sin, you agree with God that you've sinned, and you appropriate the blood of Jesus that's already been given for your forgiveness, and you ask God for his forgiveness and cleansing, and you're restored, and you pursue him, and you seek the kingdom of God. See, that's the covenant we're in. The covenant we're in, the blessings are yours, but they are only grasped and appropriated in your life in as much as you seek the kingdom of God because of the blood of Christ that makes you able to do that. Does it make sense? We're not talking about blessings and curses now. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit versus no fruit. What we're talking about is enjoying the blessings versus living on the outside of the house because you think it's about you and not enjoying the Father's house. Not about blessings and curses. Now it's about the benefits of the covenant that you're in. All right? Now that's important. Because as Moses lists all these blessings of the covenant, watch what happens. In Deuteronomy 29, I love this. He says, look in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 29. When someone hears the words of this oath, talking about the blessings of the covenant he just talked about, he may consider himself exempt, thinking, I will have peace even though I follow my own stubborn heart. This will lead to the destruction of the well-watered land as well as the dry land. The Lord will not be willing to forgive him. Now remember, this is that old covenant. And watch what's happened. Instead, his anger and jealousy will burn against that person, and every curse written in this scroll will descend on him. The Lord will blot out his name under heaven and single him out for harm from all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. How many of you are happy now we don't live under that covenant? That's better news than it was a minute ago, isn't it? All right. That was the terms of the old covenant. Now, we live in a better one. Jesus fulfilled it. Okay. But watch, here's what he's saying. He said, listen, he said, even the covenant you guys are in is so good, the blessings are so rampant, that there's going to be a tendency for somebody to start thinking, you know what? I can live however I want to. The blessings are so good, I'm just going to get blessed anyway. Let me tell you something. That is a common thread even in the new covenant. You cannot live whatever way you want to and still enjoy and appropriate the blessings of the new covenant. You see, because the new covenant means it's not about your performance, but the new covenant means you got a heart to obey God. You got a heart to keep the law. And so now we're talking about you don't keep the law to gain God's favor. Now, because the favor of God is on you in Jesus, now you live a life that keeps the law. Does that make sense? Very, very different perspective. We've got to understand that distinction. Jesus said, somebody said, what commandments do I need to keep? He said, here's what you got to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, the whole old covenant is summed up in those two things. Can I tell you something? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you are keeping the law of God. Bad news, you can't do that in your own strength. Good news, you have been given the Holy Spirit to do that in you. Yes. So in the new covenant, you've been given the Holy Spirit to actually... What? Watch this. Look. Ah! Okay. I love this. Jesus kept all the law of God. How did he do that? He loved the Father with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loved us. Like he loved himself. He gave himself for us. Jesus kept it all. And now, you too can keep the law of God. But wait, there's more. You too can keep all the law of God. Why? Because Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, lives in you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can live the life Jesus lived because he is in you to live it in you. Yeah. Woo! I like it. Okay, now, here's what that means. All right, so Moses says, there's going to be some of you who are going to be tempted to say, you know what, I can live according to my own stubborn ways and my own stubborn heart and still get the blessings of the covenant. Moses says, oh, nay, nay, I say. No, no, no. Moses says, that's not the way it's going to work. So, now watch. Watch what happens. We're getting down to the wire here. This is the baby's coming. We finna slap it. I know they don't do that anymore, but I so wanted to do that with all four of my kids. Yeah, even more today. No, not really. No, I never want to slap my kids. I want to love them. All right, now watch. Now he says, when you live according to your own stubborn heart, you go after your other ways, and you worship these other gods, all this judgment is going to come on you. Now watch, 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 watch. You are about to see the nature of revelation. Why is revelation of God? Now remember, when God gives revelation, revelation is not about cool stuff you see in the scripture. Revelation is he's going to reveal himself as a father. But all right, I'm getting ahead. All right. So when he's saying, when all this judgment comes, here's what's going to happen. Look at verse 22. Future generations of your children who follow you and the foreigner who comes from a distant country will see the plagues of the land and the sicknesses the Lord has inflicted on it. All its soil will be a burning waste of sulfur and salt, unsown, producing nothing with no plant growing on it, just like the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 24. All the nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why this fierce, this great outburst of anger? Then people will answer, It is because they abandoned the covenant of Yahweh, the God of their fathers, which he had made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. They began to worship other gods, bowing down to gods they had not known, gods that the Lord had not permitted them to worship. Therefore, the Lord's anger burned against this land, and he brought every curse written in this book on it. The Lord uprooted them from their land in his anger, rage, and great wrath, and threw them into another land where they are today. Now Moses, end quote, Moses says, the hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever so that we may follow all the words of the law. Now get this, everybody. Everybody look up here. This is where it all comes together. Watch. The nature of revelation. Moses says, great blessings if you keep the covenant. There's curses if you don't keep the covenant. Now, the terms of the covenant came from whom? God himself. God revealed this knowledge to Israel. This is what happens if you're faithful. This is what happens if you aren't. Okay, so the nation of Israel now walks in this revelation, this thing that was hidden that God has now shown them. They are walking in a revelation. This is what happens when we keep the covenant. This is what happens when we break the covenant. This is our revelation. God revealed the terms of the covenant only to the nation of Israel. The other peoples on the face of the earth did not know the terms of the covenant. They don't know what that relationship is about. They were in covenant with God. They got the revelation. Nobody else did. You follow me? All right. Why do they have that revelation? Because if the day comes when the land, the soil is burning up, there's plagues, the anger of God's been poured out, everything is destroyed, the crops are not producing, and when the foreigner comes and says, why is this happening in your life? By revelation, they have the answer. By revelation that they already have, they can, watch, they can explain the mysteries of God to the people who are not yet in covenant with him. They can say, listen, here's why this is happening, because let me say it this way. If they don't have that revelation, first of all, they're going to be confused as to why it's happening. If they don't have the revelation, they're not going to have the answers themselves. And if they don't have the revelation, if they can't connect the dots, then they are prone, they are susceptible to a foreigner coming in from Moab and saying, let me tell you why you guys are in such bad shape. It's because you won't follow after Baal. Because Baal really is the only true God. And if you follow after Baal, he'll bless you. And so Baal is cursing your land right now because you won't follow him because you're still following after this Jehovah God, or you're leaving room for Jehovah. If you close out your belief in Jehovah and just commit yourself wholly to Baal, then come on over. And you, see, but the people with revelation, they know the truth. And it's the revelation that says to them, no, what you're saying to me is not the truth. The truth is, we are in this predicament because we did not follow with all our hearts after God alone. The truth is, we're in this situation because we flirted with Baal. And so, listen to me. It is the revelation of God that protects his people from deception. When they get revelation, they know the truth, and the truth keeps them on the right way. Does that make sense? Guys, I'm telling you, without revelation, we are susceptible to every wind and wave of doctrine that comes down the pike. Without revelation, we will follow after anybody who says they have the truth. But when we, now here's the thing, let me get back to this main deal. The revelation we're talking about is not what does the scripture mean. It is the revelation of the heart of a father to his sons. When God reveals himself, listen, I'll say it this way, I believe this. When God reveals himself, it will always come down to your sonship under his fatherhood. That's revelation. If you think you've gotten revelation from God, but it stops short of how you interact with him as a son to a father, it's not revelation yet. You might be on the discovery stage. You ain't got revelation yet, because the revelation of God will always speak to him being a father and you being his son. It will come down to the relationship between you and him. See, and so because of that, why? Because that's the covenant we're under now. See, the covenant we're under now is about a relationship of a father to his sons. It's not about performing a blessing and cursings. So guys, listen, the nature of revelation is for you to be able to reveal the things about God that are hidden from those who don't know him. You can explain the heart of the Father to a watching world. Do you get that? Do you see what a privilege that is? Do you know that you can do that? And in fact, I was talking with Andrea this past week. Just saying, you know, it's just nice that what the Lord is showing us, you can share this with somebody standing in front of the apples in Walmart. You know, as opposed to, okay, well, listen, we've been learning about the 6 steps to the 7 ways of 8 blessings that you can, let me just unfold all that for you in the next 3 hours. You can take, listen, when you get revelation from God and the Lord speaks to you in such a way that you know that you have been loved by him, you have a way then to demonstrate and share that love, that revelation with somebody else who needs to see that part of the heart of God. He gives you revelation so that you can, what, see, now what? I'll come and, our Father, he reveals himself. He gives you revelation, why? So that you can reveal the Father to a watching world. Man. Now you get to do that. You're going to get to do that today. You're going to get to do that. You get to do that. Y'all, what an incredible privilege. That's what revelation is for. Revelation is not to make us superstars in the church culture. Revelation is not to make us a reputation as a great teacher. Revelation is to reveal the heart of the Father to people who need the love of the Father in their heart. That's what revelation is for. Now, here's what we're going to do next week. I had actually intended to get to this week. I had no idea all this was in here until I started preaching it first service. But you know what, though? I feel like I got a baby out of me. So, welcome to the world, little one. All right. Now I can relax. Now I can take a nap. Okay. Now we start caring for it. Because now, listen, if God is going to reveal to us the nature of revelation, we got to do something with it. So here's what we're going to do next week. I'm encourage you. Don't miss next week. In fact, next week will be 9 months to the day from our first day back after sabbatical. So I expect more, have more babies. All right. Listen, next week we're going to be doing this. This week, I want to encourage you, read through Scripture. Just take the Bible. Start in Psalms 1. Start in John chapter 1. Start in Ephesians chapter 1. Wherever you start, just sit down with the Bible. And I know, everybody, I know how intimidating it is to read Scripture and have been confused by it all these years. So would you do this? I'm going to ask you this week, at some point, just sit down, you and God, open the Bible and say, don't open to, you know, like Chronicles 12. So, I mean, right now. I mean, you'll get there, but no, start in the New Testament or Psalms and say, Father, I'm going to just start reading until I hear your voice. Don't read a verse and try to figure out that verse. Read the next verse, try to figure out the verse. Say, God, I'm just going to start reading. And whatever I'm not getting and not understanding, I'm just going to keep going. But I'm going to go until you whisper. I'm going to go until I hear you speak that verse. And when you find yourself lingering over a verse because it just sounds good, at that point, congratulations, revelation. You just got revelation from the Father. He's revealing himself to you so that you can reveal him to a watching world. Just read until you hear God speak. You may come back and say, well, Mark, I read, you know, the whole Bible in Revelation 22, 21. It was awesome. Just read until you hear God speak. And then when you hear God speak, stop. Stop. Linger. Just hang out right there for a little bit. You know, there's no assignment here to read 5 chapters a day. Just read until you hear God speak and then stop and hang out for a few minutes and ask him for more. Ask the Lord just to tell you more about what that means. Guys, let me tell you something. I believe, and this is part of what I think I was doing, the air was crackling today with revelation. I'm telling you, this God, he has, something's been awakened now. We're going to slap the baby. And I'm telling you, you're going to be hearing God. Now, next week, what we are actually going to do is we're going to be going through some of the parables of Jesus and asking the Lord to teach us. And you are going to be, I'm telling you, you're going to hear it from yourselves. I'm not going to stand up here and preach. You're going to be hearing it from yourselves. There is not much more exciting than watching the Holy Spirit speak to you and people just like you and show you things you have never known before about the heart of God. Don't miss it. Come, man, you want to see revelation? Revelation.